Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
USA. In commemoration of the 34th anniversary of the introduction of Falun Dafa to the public, three federal lawmakers from Pennsylvania and Delaware requested that the U.S. flag be raised over the U.S. Capitol to honor the founder of the practice, Mr. Lee Hongjir, and to celebrate World Falun Dafa Day on May 13th. Delaware Senator Lisa Blunt Rochester, Delaware Representative Sarah McBride, and Representative Christer R. DeLuzio from Pennsylvania bestowed certificates marking the honor, as well as the U.S. flag that was raised over the Capitol for Mr. Lee. Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania also granted recognition of Falun Dafa's founder. The governor presented a U.S. flag and a certificate that reads, "In honor of Mr. Lee Hongjir, I am honored to present you with our country's beloved flag, which was flown over the Capitol in Harrisburg on the 13th day of May, 2026.
France. The 13th arrondissement in Paris is home to a large Asian community and features ethnic shops and restaurants that attracts locals and tourists. A large shopping center located nearby draws many shoppers, making the area a bustling and lively hub. Falun Dafa practitioners held an event at Place d'Italie in the 13th arrondissement on Saturday, June 6th. They demonstrated the exercises, talked to people about the practice, and collected signatures on a petition opposing the persecution. One event attendee said of the brutality, "This is genocide, which is a crime. Thus, we must treat them like criminals. It is really unbelievable." Information days were also held in the Parisian neighborhood of Belleville on June 12th and at the public square of Place Saint-Michel on June 14th.
Australia. The annual Mind Body Spirit Festival took place at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Center from June 5th to June 8th. Falun Dafa practitioners demonstrated the exercises and introduced the spiritual practice for visitors. Over 100 different exhibitors offering health foods, natural beauty products, and holistic therapies were featured at the festival. The event included interactive experiences and wellness experts sharing insights on maintaining a healthy, balanced lifestyle. Practitioners at the Falun Dafa booth helped many people learn the exercises, purchase books, and receive information about local practice sites. A booth visitor named Vincent said he had not heard of Falun Dafa before and thought the practice sounded like a lifestyle for self-improvement. He said, "I picked up one of these flyers that caught my attention. This energy is quite beautiful."
Japan. The Kanazawa Hakuman Goku Festival was held in the Ishikawa Prefecture on June 6th. It is the city's largest annual traditional festival. Parades, traditional performances, and historical character reenactments showcase the city's history and culture. The events attract thousands of residents and tourists. Dressed in bright yellow shirts and white skirts, many female Falun Dafa practitioners danced in the festival's highly anticipated dance parade. They carried banners with information about Falun Dafa and its values of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Their elegant movements pleased the spectators, and many people said they agreed with the principles. The festival organizer introduced the practice to the audience as a traditional Chinese Qigong practice that purifies the body and mind. Prior to the festival, practitioners did the exercises in the Ishikawa 4th High School Memorial Park in Kanazawa City. The peaceful scene prompted many to stop and watch.
Mexico. Falun Dafa practitioners were invited to hold an educational event in Mexico City in front of a borough government building on May 23rd. The Director of Social Development, Mr. Joaquin Melendez, and former federal deputy, Ms. Veronica Juarez Pina, praised Falun Dafa's principles and thanked practitioners for holding events to introduce Falun Dafa to the community over the years. Practitioners performed on waist drums and did a dragon dance, to the delight of the audience. They also taught the exercises, distributed informational leaflets about Falun Dafa, and provided details about local practice sites in Mexico City. Event attendees learned about the practitioners' personal experiences, including how their physical and mental health improved through practicing Falun Dafa. Practitioners explained how, by looking inward, they cultivate self-awareness, put others first, and foster great harmony in their families and in their everyday lives.
Taiwan. Practitioners in central Taiwan held a two-day Falun Dafa study and experience sharing event in a Taichung City Hotel conference hall on June 6th and 7th. Participants came from different professions and were of all ages. Participants talked about how they made time to study the Fa despite their busy schedules, how they looked within for their own problems during conflicts, and how they elevated their character when clarifying the truth to non-practitioners. After the 2 days of intensive Fa study and interacting with other practitioners, many attendees felt that they had benefited from the event. One practitioner said that it was his first time participating in such a large event, and by listening to others' experiences, he found that he had not taken Falun Dafa study seriously enough. Another practitioner also realized the importance of prioritizing Fa study and sending righteous thoughts.
Slovakia. A Falun Gong petition and information event was held on Stefanikova Street in the city of Nitra on May 23rd. The atmosphere was particularly lively that day thanks to the open Nitra market. Visitors watched the meditation and exercise demonstration with interest and learned about the 27-year-long persecution of Falun Gong in China, perpetrated by the Chinese Communist Party. On Saturday, May 30th, practitioners organized a petition event at SNP Square in the city of Banska Bystrica. Passersby stopped to read the display signs, the petition, and express support. Joseph said of the persecution, "It should not be happening." He added, "If more people followed the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, the world would be a better place, and people would be more at peace within themselves." Joseph encouraged Falun Gong practitioners to remain steadfast.
The UK. The annual Rotary Village Day was held in the village of Asteed, England, on June 13th. Many attendees stopped at the Falun Dafa booth and tried the exercises. People were deeply touched after hearing about the persecution. Some said they were interested in learning more about the practice. 22 young local residents came to the booth and learned the exercises that day. A woman who volunteers at a theater visited the stall. She watched Shen Yun and said that what continues to amaze her is the artist's exceptional demeanor and perfect artistic skills. When she learned that Shen Yun performers practice Falun Dafa, she said, "Now I understand. It turns out that the pure energy and superb skills come from deep spiritual faith. Pursuit of perfect artistic qualities must first come from pursuit of a perfect spiritual realm." She accepted a flyer and said she will learn more about Falun Dafa.
USA. The Grand Floral Starlight Parade was held in Portland, Oregon on June 6. The parade is the highlight of the Portland Rose Festival. Falun Dafa practitioners were invited to participate in the event. The Tian Guo Marching Band's unique costumes, synchronized marching, and spirited performance won applause from the crowd. The practitioner's float received a Grand Marshal Award as the best non-commercial float and was praised by spectators. Shaped like a boat, it was embellished with traditional Chinese landscape scenes in shades of purple and trimmed in shimmering gold. It exuded an air of elegance and grandeur. The deck was adorned with models of lotuses and undumbaro flowers, a rare blossom which is said to bloom only once every 3,000 years. Local media Fox 12 and KGW live-streamed the parade, and it was viewed by thousands.
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Ms. Cui Yufeng of Anshan City, Liaoning Province, was arrested in 2016 for her faith in Falun Gong. Her case was later dismissed due to a lack of evidence, yet the Anshan City Political and Legal Affairs Committee, PLAC, ordered her case reopened and put her on a wanted list in 2019 when she didn't report to the police as ordered. Ms. Cui's sister and nephew struggled to cope with the authorities' pressure and disowned her as their relative. They gave Ms. Cui's address to the police. A new trial was scheduled to take place, though it was unclear whether that ever happened. Ms. Cui, who had a stroke while in detention in 2017, but recovered through doing the Falun Gong exercises, suffered declining health as a result of the relentless persecution. She remained in a coma in recent years and died on April 17, 2026, at the age of 73. The PLAC is an extrajudicial agency given the power to override the judicial system in the CCP's ongoing persecution of Falun Gong.
A 79-year-old man in Ningxia Hui Autonomous Region died last October after suffering years of persecution for practicing Falun Gong. Mr. Wang Shihe took up Falun Gong in June 1997. His wife, Mitzhao Guilin, soon joined him. After the communist regime launched a nationwide campaign against Falun Gong in July 1999, the couple held firm to their faith and were repeatedly targeted. For appealing in Beijing, Ms. Xiao was given 2 years at a women's labor camp. 10 years ago, a dozen officers broke into Ms. Xiao's home to arrest her and Mr. Wang. The couple was suspected of putting up banners bearing Falun Gong messages along local roads. At least 10 other local Falun Gong practitioners were also arrested around the same time. Ms. Xiao was later sentenced to 3 years. The police would often harass Mr. Wang at home. After his wife was released, they faced continued harassment, especially around politically sensitive dates.
A married couple in Guangzhou City was arrested for their faith in Falun Gong last April. 87-year-old Mr. Wei Yingxing and his wife, 74-year-old Ms. Wang Mengying, were seized on the street on April 20, 2026, by over a dozen police officers. The police snatched the couple's keys and raided their home, where they confiscated their Falun Gong books and other valuables. Before leaving, the police vandalized their house. The husband was released on bail, but the wife remains detained and is facing indictment. She is also suffering from hypertension. According to insiders, 9 other local Falun Gong practitioners were also arrested the same day. The mass arrests were ordered by the Guangzhou City Police Department and called Operation F1212. Both Mr. Wei and Ms. Wan have been repeatedly targeted over the past 2+ decades for practicing Falun Gong. He was previously sentenced to a 4-year prison term and suffered brutal torture. He was not allowed to see his mother before she died at the age of 97. His youngest son struggled to cope with his imprisonment and developed clinical depression.
A 58-year-old man in Fushun City was sentenced to 4 years for his faith in Falun Gong. Mr. Ge Xin was arrested last year by police officers. While held in a detention center, he fell into a coma and was rushed to the hospital. The police kept the unconscious Mr. Ge shackled in the hospital despite his family's protest. He was found to have a brain tumor and brain bleeding. It is unclear when Mr. Ge was discharged from the hospital, but the police took him straight to a nursing home. He is unable to walk and remains bedridden to this day. The police put him under close surveillance and did not allow his family or others to visit him. His loved ones found out about his prison sentence recently, but still do not know anything else about his prosecution.
Shenyun performers return to Toronto. Canadian parliamentarians commend their courage. Shenyun Performing Arts will return to the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts in Toronto to present 5 performances from June 25th through June 28th. Previously, the theatre cancelled scheduled Shenyun performances in response to bomb threats. Members of Parliament James Bazin and Kyle Seebeck sent letters to congratulate Shenyun and to welcome the artists' return to the community. Member of Parliament Kyle Seebeck wrote, "Thank you to the Falandafa Association of Toronto for once again bringing the highly acclaimed Shenyun to Toronto for Canadian audiences to enjoy. After 20 seasons, Shenyun's stunning performances involving outstanding classical music and dance continue to uplift and inspire audiences here and around the world, while highlighting the importance of preserving cultural heritage and freedom of expression." Member of Parliament Bazin wrote, "Please accept my heartfelt congratulations on the successful rescheduling of your performance following the unfortunate disruptions caused by recent bomb threats. The challenges you faced were undoubtedly difficult, yet your ability to continue your performances despite such obstacles demonstrates remarkable courage and commitment. The parliamentarian continued, "Since 1999, practitioners of Falun Dafa have been subjected to cruel and inhumane attacks and experienced many atrocities at the hands of the Chinese Communist government. Canada has important tools to respond to gross human rights violations. The Justice for Victims of Corrupt Foreign Officials Act, Sergei Magnitsky Law, enables targeted sanctions against foreign officials responsible for serious abuses, including those involved in the persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners."
Forum attendees in Pennsylvania support U.S. legislation to end live organ harvesting. The Lehigh Valley Tea Party, headquartered in Allentown, Pennsylvania, invited representatives from the organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, or DAFO, to speak at their meeting on June 4th. Founded in 2006, DAFO is dedicated to investigating and stopping the crime against humanity. The organization has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 3 times. DAFO representatives Dr. Jessica Russo and Ms. Jenny Sheeks screened the documentary Silent Harvest, The Courage to Speak Up, at the Pennsylvania Forum. The film exposes the unethical organ trade in China. They also answered questions from the audience after the screening. The film was produced by their organization and debuted in Washington, D.C. on May 16th this year. It presents an analysis of medical data and interviews with over 10 doctors, including a renowned transplant surgeon, ethicists, China experts, and victims. Ms. Sheeks said during the presentation, "This is not just a medical issue, but a battle between good and evil. If we knew what happened but kept silent, we would fail to fulfill our responsibility to uphold justice." Both she and Dr. Russo talked about the state-sanctioned atrocity of harvesting organs from Falun Gong practitioners while they are still alive, and called on the audience to support practitioners and the victims of Forced Organ Harvesting Protection Act, S-4009, which was introduced in the U.S. Senate on March 5th of this year. An expert in the film said that doctors in China could arrange liver, kidney, and heart transplant surgeries in unimaginably short periods of time. In the United States and Australia, where organ donation systems have been in place for a long time, people often need to wait for months or even years for a transplant. The only reasonable explanation for China's ability to quickly provide large numbers of quality organs is by matching the patients to potential donors from a massive organ bank. The so-called donors are prisoners of conscience, whose blood profile was screened against their will. According to Ms. Sheeks, Falun Gong practitioners, Uyghurs, and others of faith in China are often arrested and incarcerated in prisons and brainwashing centers, where they are forced to submit to blood and tissue typing. Their data is stored in a database. When a person needs an organ transplant, the authorities can quickly find a matching donor from the database, take the person to a hospital, and remove the organs from the living donor. Ms. Sheeks explained that live organ harvesting isn't normal organ donation. It is killing on demand, orchestrated by the CCP to target specific groups of people. The movie cited investigative reports that say the actual number of organ transplants carried out in China may reach 60,000 to 100,000 per year, far exceeding the country's published official numbers. Both speakers talked about Bill S-4009 introduced to the U.S. Senate. The bill would require the U.S. government to investigate the CCP's organ harvesting atrocities and impose sanctions on individuals and entities involved in such crimes. They called on the audience to urge their senators to expedite the process and pass the bill. Many people texted their U.S. senators to ask them to support the bill. Links were sent to Tea Party members so they can easily contact their U.S. senators and express their concerns.
Jen Shanren Art Exhibition impresses attendees at Bulgarian Cultural Center. The art of Jen Shanren International Exhibition was on display at the Palace Cultural Center in Balchek, Bulgaria from May 4th through May 14th. All of the paintings shown were created by Falun Dafa practitioners and showcase the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. The art depicts how the CCP persecutes practitioners of Falun Dafa, and illustrates the strength of those who uphold their faith in China. Cultural activities organizer Vera Demiriva offered welcoming remarks to those gathered for the exhibit opening. Sculptor Najimi Murat and his wife were among the first guests to express their admiration for the paintings when they viewed them on opening night. He opened his own exhibition that day in one of the palace's other halls. He said the artworks informed the people about the persecution of Falun Dafa and conveyed the human spirit's need for something higher. The sculptor found the paintings to be moving. He said, "They show us how the hardships, torments, and trials these people go through to temper and elevate their souls. This is an eternal process with deep meaning." Martin Pantelief is a world-renowned violinist, conductor, and composer. He was at the palace with his musical ensemble, which happened to be performing there during a festival while the exhibition was held. He said of the art, "The exhibition is filled with many different emotions and many different moods and contrasts. For him, they come together as one and create an atmosphere, a symbiosis that is exceptionally pure." Despite the darkness shown in the pieces that depict the persecution, Pantelief believes the artist's goal is to show the theme of how Falun Dafa practitioners find enlightenment through the challenges. He said, as the saying goes, "Through darkness toward the light." I think that is the message of this exhibition. Center curator and event organizer Kristina Panayotova was surprised by the Renaissance style of the paintings because she expected the art to be in the style of traditional Chinese paintings. Contrasts in the scenes that show the themes of karmic retribution particularly impressed her. The curator's favorite painting was The Wonderful Fa. A tour guide visiting the exhibition named Diana Gunchiva said that we live in rather tense times. She added, "Goodness must be encouraged in every way possible, and people should have the opportunity to learn for themselves and be able to judge and distinguish good from evil." When two tourists from Russia looked at the paintings, they said they felt they stepped into a world of stark contrasts, like an unexpected fairy tale. They were particularly drawn to the canvas depicting Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, teaching the practice. They took photos of the paintings and carefully read the captions. A group of visitors from the White Birches Association of People with Disabilities and Retirees in Sofia toured the exhibition. The ladies said this was the first time they had heard about the CCP's persecution. They viewed the painting, spoke with a practitioner at the event, and said violence cannot be justified or accepted. They asked to have their picture taken in front of the paintings, which, in their view, radiate hope.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China, and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.